Alleluia. Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Please be seated. So most of you know that a week ago I went away to the wilds of Alabama for what's called a credo retreat. It's something that the Church Pension Fund offers to the clergy as a time to examine your life and your ministry and your finances and your health and look to the future and get support from one another and figure out ways to be happy and healthy and serve well in as a priest. And I had a wonderful time and I learned a lot and it was a time of great introspection. But the day before I went, I was absolutely frantic. I left on a Wednesday morning. On Tuesday, I was in the office giving lists of instructions to Christine about things that needed to be done and making sure that Stuart Wright, who was here last Sunday in my stead, knew everything he needed to know for the service. And then when I got home, I was grocery shopping and then making sure my family knew where the meatloaf was in the refrigerator and where the macaroni and cheese was and all those good things because I'm the cook in the family, and also reminders to my son to feed the dog and to take out the trash and all of that kind of stuff. And the reason I'm telling you all this is because in today's reading, and indeed for the gospel readings for the last two Sundays before this, Jesus has been doing the same thing. This part of John is what's called Jesus's farewell discourse. And he's telling the disciples absolutely everything that they need to know when he's gone. And so he's giving them instructions, and he's giving them words of encouragement, and he's telling them where the meatloaf is. And so two Sundays ago, when we began reading from this section, it was Good Shepherd Sunday. And we heard Jesus telling his disciples, "I am the Good Shepherd, and that I am with you always, and I will protect you, and unlike a hired hand who would run away at the sign of danger, I will always be with you in your need." And then last Sunday, Jesus talked about being the vine and talked about the need for pruning in order for a vine to be healthy and for it to produce good fruit, and how he hoped that the disciples would produce good fruit in response to the stresses that they were living in. And then this Sunday, this is the meatloaf part. He's telling them all about love, where the good stuff is. So first he tells them, "I will never leave you even if I die." And then he says, "Even when bad things happen, you'll grow stronger from it. And the strength is a gift from me and from God." He says, "My love and my protection and the strength that you gain from life will enable you to bear good fruit. And the good fruit that you bear will not be something that grows out of love. Love itself is the good fruit that I expect you to bear. My commandment is this, that you love one another as I have loved you." Now, yesterday and the day before was the annual convention of the Diocese of Maryland. The representatives from this and all the other parishes and the leaders of the diocese all gathered together for prayer and fellowship and election of people to fulfill various offices in the diocese and the passing of resolutions and the budget to enable the diocese to continue to do its good work. And during that convention, at one point, Bishop Sutton spent a little time reflecting on Jesus's farewell discourse about this passage about love and about last Sunday's passage about the vine. And he talked very personally and very passionately about his experience of dealing with the aftermath of the tragedy of our former suffragan bishop, Heather Cook, striking and killing Tom Palermo while she was driving under the influence of alcohol and texting. And he talked about his own shock and both the antagonism and the support that he had received both from the diocese and from the world at large. He talked about this period of pain as being the kind of stress that Jesus was talking about when he talked about pruning the vine, that it's only through stress that vines can be induced to produce their best fruit, and that this time of stress was causing a number of fruitful things to happen in the diocese, in our self-reflection, in our relationships with one another, in our looking to the outer world, in our understanding of our relationship with alcohol and other substance abuse. If stress makes us bear fruit, then fruit was being born here. And that fruit is love. So on today, which is also Mother's Day, I think the kind of love that a parent is supposed to give is one good way to think about the love that Jesus is talking about. For feeding and sheltering and warming and welcoming, and as our children get older, freeing them to go out in the world and make their own mistakes, these are all ways of acting out love that are essential to motherhood, but also essential to our practice of Christian discipleship. Now, I was brought up, and I am certain that many of you were brought up as well, to think that love, if it's strong enough, if it's sincere enough and true enough, if it's unconditional enough, can heal anything. With enough love, you can mend anything. With enough love, you can restore anything. And certainly in my own experience growing up, that seemed to be true. But once I became a grown-up, and the foster and adoptive parent of two boys who did not receive the kind of love that they needed or deserved from their families of origin, what I learned from the training that we had to become foster parents and from the experience that we had as foster and adoptive parents is that love, no matter how unconditional, no matter how generous, no matter how unstinting, and even sometimes no matter how tough, isn't always enough. Sometimes the transformation of lives, and to be sure the transformation of the world as well, takes more than just love. It takes specific skills. It can take therapeutic actions. It can take counterintuitive strategies, which may be necessary for a child with attachment disorder, sociopathy, developmental delays, and a host of other problems that are associated with disruptive and dangerous childhoods. And those are also characteristics, at least metaphorically, that seem in some ways to be true of the world that we inhabit, too. It can seem to have trouble with healthy attachments. It can seem sociopathic or even psychopathic at times. Certainly we experience developmental delays and immaturity in not just the others that we encounter, but in the other political bodies and organizations and relations in the world. And so it is almost certainly true that for the world itself, love is also not enough. John Lennon was not exactly right when he said, love is all you need. But love is, if not all you need, still the one thing you always need. Without love, as St. Paul points out in the familiar passage from the letter to Romans that we often read at weddings, without love, everything we do is empty. Everything we do is pointless. Everything we do is likely to end in failure. And so remember that, as Jesus describes it, love, this love that he calls us all to, the love that is the main body of his farewell discourse, the instruction that he most wants us to remember where to find it, love is action, not feeling. We love the hungry with food. We love the lost with direction. We love the endangered with shelter. We love the imprisoned with freedom. And we love the stranger with welcome. And Because Jesus told us that whatever we do for the least of God's children, we do for Him. We love Jesus with all of these things. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen.